Welcome to week three of Focus on Five. For those who've been away and have not access to the recorded sermons online, a really brief overview of what's going on. As shared in weeks past, way back in March, at the beginning of Lent, I decided to focus on personal goal setting, in particular, mindfully considering my holistic health. I set goals, written and not limited to negative self-talk. You know, when you say, I can't do that, or that's too big, or that's impossible. And then I also kept my eyes open and my senses alert to look for opportunities to move towards those goals, as well as hearing my heart inclined toward God's inspiration, trying then to co-create the life God hopes for not only me, but for all of his or her children, as the Apostle Paul attested in 2 Timothy verse 7 in the fourth chapter. I have competed well, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Filled with that peace that passes all understanding, I think, Paul looked at his life as one being lived well and with purpose, unique to God's design for him. A life echoing Matthew's Beatitudes from the fifth chapter, you're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's a moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Or with a bit of slant from yours truly, you're blessed when you fulfill God's intended will in your life through holistic fitness. Holistic fitness. Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and holy as in, holy fit, takes work. It takes focus. It takes commitment. It requires that we are completely honest about our efforts, which, like last week's topic, requires spending time taking a personal inventory, considering what is hindering us from sitting at the feet and releasing our will into the care of God and God's hopes for us completely. It is a temple gifted to us, says Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6th chapter. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been purchased at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Step one to gaining any God goal, though, is beginning with God. As discussed in our first week, we can't get to where we need to go until we first focus on faith, viewing our lives through the lens of Christ. We do this by beginning our days, if not ending them, centering ourselves in God, with mindful awareness of God's presence and God's hope for us as we enter our day. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, including your holistic fitness. Now, Webster's first definition of fitness is this, the condition of being physically fit and healthy. Or the second listed definition, which I especially find relevant as a child of God, the quality of being suitable to fulfill a particular role or task. To be all God requires, then, it is essential to focus on this holistic fitness as we heed Paul's warning, not only for our own well-being, but for those in our care and witness. With Paul's 1 Corinthians 9th chapter testimony, thus I do not run aimlessly. I do not fight as if I were shadow boxing. No, I drive my body and train it, for fear that after having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Practice what you preach. Fitness, then, is more than just physical fitness. It can be mental and fiscal and emotional. But in all of its incarnations, it affects how we are able to function or perform the task. For today, I do want to take it at face value in the way most of us tend to lean in, get it, pun intended, when we quest to be fit, and that is caring physically for this temple. As most of you know, I am one hyper girl, move around a lot. I'm a strong girl. I can lift and move and shove the largest piece of furniture in the house with determination from one corner to the next. I'm a pretty healthy girl. Well, for the most part. Oh, remind me to get that flu shot, won't you? And when I was a kid, I was a pretty talented athlete. But for most of my adult life, I have not been totally fit. I have not made my physical health a focus priority. In fact, from years 23 to 50, I was sporadic at best in getting regular exercise. Life, it seemed, got in the way of healthy living. My weight would roll up and down the scale 20 to 30 pounds with ease. And though I love most foods, my diet too is quite often neglected. Self-care was a really low priority, especially when it came to boundaries and rest. And hear this, reconciliation of all above. I was always going to get to it later. Or I just don't feel like it. And I'd curl up with a bottle of wine and a bag of Cheetos. Real classy. And it wasn't just me, though. I spent a lot of time with friends and family who were aging at a rapid pace, not just in days and years, but physically. I would minister to folks who admittedly were neglecting their own lives because they said they just didn't give a hoot, or something was going to kill them anyway, or much more like me, the ones that said, I'll get to it later. I even watched my own children slip into unhealthy life practices, seeking immediate gratification, and then all of a sudden they couldn't do what they used to be able to do, and they were all under the age of 30. The good news, however, was that I also watched folks a little older than me be intentional, focused, and balanced. I had a friend who was once a chain smoker become a chain half marathon runner. I watched the capabilities of fit senior adults living full lives well into their 80s. I watched the silver sneaker crew at the local YMCA on treadmills, and I watched them starting to slowly lift weights. Many of those guys were in their 80s. I've met jazzercise queens and slow walking 5K kings, all intentional with a fitness routine, and they were not only stronger and healthier, they were happier and they were more alert. They kept their wits about them. Why? Because they gave a hoot. They knew and know that life ain't over till it's over. So when I was quickly approaching 50, some 3 years ago, I started making some changes. I started looking at eating a more balanced diet as a necessity, not a secondary option. But here's the truly true truth. I always have slips. I always fall back. And when I do, I see quick setbacks in many areas, lack of focus, and in my mood. When I don't focus on fitness, I fall flat. My feelings, fortitude, affect, faltered function, and an increase in fatigue. And let it be known, we all know some folks who overfocus on fitness, and they seem to lose joy and suffer losses because of it. Now remember, it's focus on five and not one. Now, the wise find the balance, and as Proverbs 24 and 31 say, are full of strength, enhancing their might, and exerting their arms with vigor. So whether your initial goals are in the queue due to vanity, temple polishing, or doctor's orders, no finding time to prioritize and focus on fitness will well be worth the small investment. And as reported by many, those who start exercising for the physical benefits usually stick with it because of the mental. I mean, here are just a list of some of the physical and then even the mental benefits. Of course, there's weight control, but it's also when you build muscles, you burn more calories, right? There's increased energy, improved flexibility. There's a lower risk of some types of cancer. You can reduce the risk of adult onset diabetes. It can actually increase your good cholesterol, improvement in your immune system. There's a lower risk of heart attack and stroke. And for those over 50, know that the strength training, that weight-bearing exercise like walking and jogging, promotes stronger bones. In short, exercise can increase your life expectancy by an average of 7 years. And then, what about that emotional health? Well, regular aerobic exercise increases levels of serotonin and dopamine in the brain, which helps improve your mood. Aerobic exercise increases endorphins, or those feel-good chemicals, in your body. Exercise enhances the mind's ability to withstand daily hassles and stressors. It also has been shown to help in battle major depressive disorder. It's associated with a deeper relaxation and sleep. Boy, we can all use that. It increases mental clarity and efficiency, improves cognitive functioning in middle age and beyond. Exercise increases assertiveness and enthusiasm for life. Overall, it just makes you happier. Amazing, isn't it? Something worth focusing upon, I'd say. And don't start making lists of excuses why this is too much for you to consider. It is too important not to consider. With God as your personal trainer, you'll be as fit as a fiddle inside and out in no time. God needs you to be your best, whoever you are, however old you are, to show up and offer the world what only you can offer it. And remember, even if right now you feel too weary to even lift the pile of dirty clothes off of that treadmill in the corner of the room, or you think that the pile of dishes you left in the sink is more important than a nice stroll around the backyard, well, if you focus on fitness through the lens of Christ You'll be empowered to do not just what you want to do, but what you need to do. For as it is written in Isaiah's 40th chapter, he gives power to the faint, abundant strength to the weak. Though young men faint and grow weary and youths stagger and fall, they that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on eagle's wings. They will run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. Remember, you can do it, for all things can be done in the one who strengthens you, if you but first bend your knee for God's direction.